So let me have a quick survey before we get started. Just out of curiosity, I'm sure people know there are three parts to Shmoneh Esrei. If not, now you do. The first part is called Shevach, the kind of like the praise, the opening three brachos. It's always the same. Then you have the middle section, which is like a nice big chunk. I think there are 13 brachos here called Bakashas. God give us knowledge, God give us forgiveness, Yerushalayim, Shema Koleinu, etc. At the end you have Hodah. That's like officially a thank you. It's a little bit tricky because most of the stuff there doesn't actually thank God, even though it's called a thank you. But nonetheless, those are the first three parts of Shemoneh Esrei. We're familiar with that, right? Out of curiosity, raise your hand if you have an easy time identifying with, having kavana for, connecting to Shevach the easiest. I connect to Shevach the easiest. Okay? Raise if you connect to Bakashas the easiest. It's easier for me to relate to, it's easier for me to be makir, to daven and have kavana. Okay, good. Sounds like more. And raise your hand if it's Hoda'ah, which is that speaks to the most. Okay, it's pretty standard. Usually more than 50% of people connect to Bakashas. The second most is almost always Hoda'ah. And the third most, and it may even be a mistaken vote. What? The two people who voted for Shevach were both, what's it called? I went out for the black shot, you know, that head fake. Both mistakes, and therefore it's usually the smallest amount of people have connection to Shevach. And therefore, what I'd like to do is, well, many people struggle with Shevach, frankly, because we don't really get it. I know what a bakasha is. God, I want more knowledge. Hashem, we want Mashiach in all the stages. Yerushalayim, Tzemach David, etc., etc., Tzadikim, Olam Hashem. I know what it means to say thank you. That I get. But like the whole Shevach thing, I know what it means to praise God. But if you actually look in the first three brachos, there doesn't seem much praise at all. Frankly, most of the praise is in the Hallelujahs. And I don't really know what those are all about either. All I know is Hallelujah, praise God, five different prakim of that. But what I'd like to do is try to go through the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei and try to explain what we're asking for, the tone we're setting, what are they all about. That's my game plan, Mirtz Hashem, over the next 18 minutes or so. I want to be done within 20 minutes as it was advertised. Put that in the back of your mind for one moment, and let me ask you a question. Classically in Judaism, it's actually a halacha. The brachos fall under one of two categories. Either Baruch Atah Hashem, quick answer, Hazanat HaKol. Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael. Baruch Atah Hashem, what's another quick one? What? B'nai Yerushalayim. Then you have another type of bracha, which is a longer bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem. And what's the next word for the longer bracha? Elokeinu. And then? Melech HaOlam. Every bracha in Judaism falls under one of these two categories. It's actually a halacha. Except for one bracha. What's the one bracha that starts off indicating it's going towards the longer matbeah bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, but doesn't have Melech HaOlam. What's that? The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. Now, there is a technical halachic question which has to be addressed. That's against the din. How could you do that? Tosfos discusses it in Brachos. The Rush discusses it. The Al-Regalachas answer, the short answer, is that somehow Melech HaOlam can be replaced with Elokeinu Velokei Avoseinu. Okay, ignoring that technical issue, the question I want to address is far more penetrating, which is, why in the world would Chazal, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, would the rabbis make up Shemoneh Esrei and say, hey, it starts off with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu, but let's not say Melech HaOlam. What's wrong with the classic text, the classic Madbrei HaBracha used for all brachos in all of Judaism, which is totally appropriate for every other bracha we have? Comes along Shemoneh Esrei and Chazal say, you know, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech, you can't go on with Melech HaOlam. Why not? You follow that question? In other words, one of the keys to understanding what the rabbis wanted when they wrote down this text is to figure out why they wrote it in such an atypical, unusual fashion. Why didn't they have Melech HaOlam? And in order to understand why Melech HaOlam is inappropriate over here, you have to understand why, in general, Melech HaOlam is a perfect way to open up a bracha. So let me start with this. Why is Elokeinu Melech HaOlam good? What do you gain with Elokeinu Melech HaOlam? What comes out? What is Elokeinu Melech HaOlam? If you had to summarize it, what are we saying in those three words? Not translate, summarize. Elokeinu, our God, Melech HaOlam, King of the World. What are we doing? That's true, because I'm short on time, I'm going to go to the answer I'm looking for, which is, there is a very delicate balance. If I had to ask you, is Hashem the God of the world or the God of the Jewish people? What's the answer? There really is a tension. On the one hand, he's only the God of the Jewish people. On the other hand, he's what? Also the God of the whole world. What word indicates that he's only our God from those three words? Elokeinu. No, he's our God. But what phrase captures the second quality, that he's also the God of the whole world? We don't have a monopoly on God. It's a much more globalistic world. What's that? Melech? He's the king of the whole world. And that's a great balance. That really captures this dichotomy, this tension. On the one hand, he's our God. On the other hand, what? He's really God of the whole world. Why is that inappropriate or unfitting or incorrect for the first bracha? What is the first bracha all about, which seems to clash with the classic Elokeinu Melech HaOlam text? And I think the answer is, and it's the key to the first bracha. The first bracha is all about closeness, intimacy with God. And it's about God loving us and us alone. It's about us being the children of the Avos. It's about God being Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, each one independently, not Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, as many of the Mefarshim have pointed out, he's the God of each independent one. And if that's the case, maybe the goal and the focus of the first bracha is God is not Melech HaOlam right now. What is he? Elokeinu Velokei Avoseinu. As if the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei really drives home the idea that God is uniquely ours, close to us. We have a monopoly on God. And by the way, the Vilna Gaon points out beautifully, we say Melech, who's the king, Ozer Moshia Umagein. What does Ozer mean? Helps us. Moshia, what's that? Saves us. Magain protects us. Says the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, it's not by chance. Melech Ozer means when I try hard, he is Ozer, he helps me. When I'm totally passive, he's Moshia. And even when I negatively endanger myself, then he is Magain. Do you see that? He helps us, saves us, and protects us. If I help myself, he helps me. If I'm parv, he'll save me. If I endanger myself, he will umagein, he'll shield me. The idea is that God has a unique, close relationship with man. And there's a lot of other phrases that capture it. Kone hakol, which doesn't mean he bought us. It means he owns us. There's more to be said, but not the amount of time I have allocated. And therefore, the first bracha seems to leave the classic balance, the classic dichotomy, the classic tension of he's our God and God of the world. This is our God and our God alone. The first bracha is a closeness, an intimacy, a hamishness, a very strong relationship we have between man and God. This is not balance. This is God, you and I. I'm not whispering to myself. I'm talking to my God. If that's the case, let's move on to the second bracha for a moment. If you look through the second bracha, you'll notice something that comes up time and time again. The density and concentration of this theme is so atypical, so unusual. What comes up a lot in the second theme, the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, which comes up practically nowhere else in all of davening, except for one small time, in Shabbos morning. What? Exactly. Tichias HaMesim comes up 5 times in the daily davening, and all 5 are in this paragraph. 5 times Shacharis, all here. 5 times Mincha, all here. 5 times Maariv, all here. The concentration of Tichias HaMesim is startling. Let's go through it. Atagi bar li olam Hashem. Mechayim eisim at harav lo shi amur atal mechal ki olchayim mechasim mechayim eisim rachim rabim. Samech noflim vro fecholim matir asir mechayim ur sol shenef amicha mocha baal gos midom lach melech. Memis mechayim atzmiach shua venem rata lachayos meisim bruch ato Hashem. All 5. And the conclusion is bruch ato Hashem mechayim eisim. What is Tchias HaMesim all about? What is that theme all about? Why is that the second bracha? How often have we experienced Tchias HaMesim, that it should be something we say every day in the second bracha Shemoneh Esrei 5 times? Tchias HaMesim, bringing back the dead to life. It'll happen one day. Why is that so central? Why is that so integral for this bracha? So the real truth is, and I did this already once and then I got called out on it, but I'll do it again to a different group. In order to understand the second bracha, there's a few more phrases which are really important. Micha mocha bal givros umi domelach. What does that mean? Micha mocha means, who is like you? Now, what's the answer? No one. The answer is not like my cousin Fred, right? That's not the answer. The answer is, there's no one like you. Umi domelach. Who is comparable to you? What's the answer to that? Also, no one. Now, that's important. Let me try to drive that message home for a moment. If I had to ask you to think of a brand new color, not just combining 2 old colors that you know, hot pink and neon green, not combining 2 new colors, can you think of a new color? No. Let me try something else. Can you think of something entirely different from anything you've ever saw, or heard, or smelt, or touched? The answer is no. The human being has a fantastic ability to take the wheel and build on it, but to reinvent it, or to invent the wheel, we have a very limited creative capacity. We can take things we've seen, a shtender, and make them smoother. We can take a machine, put a clock in it, to improve things we do an excellent job at. And by the way, the reason for that is because God didn't create us to create, He created a world, and He created us to improve the world. That's another topic, but small little nugget. Hashem gave mankind the ability to improve, to fix, but not to be creative. Now that's important from my point, because if you've never seen Hashem, touched Hashem, smelled Hashem, so do you really know who He is at all? No. Everything we know is based upon something that we've seen, heard, smelt, touched, felt, experienced. And because we've never really, really experienced God, how well do we know God? The answer is, not that great. I'd like to build off that for a second. I think this phrase of Micha mocha bal givuro sumido melach means, God, we don't know who you are. The gap between mankind and infinity is infinitely great. And that's a wild concept, infinity. This is what I was talking about earlier on in one of my shiurim. Guys, call me out. We are right now a group of 25 people over here, part of a camp of 400 in Beit Meir, which has, including the Kola, maybe 600 people. I don't know. Part of a country in Eretz Yisrael of 7 million and a world of 7 or 8 billion. You take all those 8 billion and people can stand like this comfortably with their arms out, all in Eretz Yisrael, all 8 billion of us. Israel's the size of New Jersey, which is about an 80th of America, which is not even as big as Canada or China. It's about a tenth, if not smaller, of the land mass. You take all the earth, the land on all the earth, you multiply it by 3 and you got the earth. You take 3 Earths and it fits into a little hole in Jupiter. You take that hole in Jupiter, you multiply it by 50 and it fits into Jupiter. You take a million Jupiters, you put them in the sun and it fits in comfortably. You take this sun, you multiply it by another 100,000 and it fits into one star bigger. Multiply that by another million and it fits into one star bigger. It's just remarkable. One star bigger, one star bigger. And then you take a look at the Milky Way galaxy, which has billions of stars, and it's one of billions of galaxies. That's just a fraction of our universe, which is not even infinite. It's a fraction of God. Infinity is really big. It's inspiring to realize how small we are. The second bracha of Shmoneh Esrei is about how small we are in comparison to God. I give up. And the reason why Tchiyas HaMeisim is hammered home and so central over here is because that is the paradigmatic example. That's the best way of understanding. We don't know things you can do and we don't know who you are. And that's part of God. Actually, the Gemara in Titus says there are three things not in man's control. One is Tchiyas HaMeisim. Two is childbirth, and three is rain. Rain's in there, and many Mefarshim believe Matir Asrim is referring to childbirth. And therefore, by contrast, what the first bracha is all about is the closeness, the warmth, the intimacy. God, you're my father, you're listening, I get you, I'm having a conversation with you. The second bracha is the opposite. The second bracha is the gap, the distance, the incredible, overwhelmingly large, infinite gap between man and God. I don't know who you are. I realize that I don't realize. I understand that I don't understand. The gap between man and God is so infinitely large, I just don't know where to start. And if that paradox is true, if the first bracha is all about the close, warm relationship with God, the close, and the second bracha is about the distance, the gap, that we don't know who God is and what he's all about, I wonder if the answer to that oxymoron, the answer to that seemingly contradictory two different ideas is found in the third bracha. I'd like to suggest it is. What is the third bracha all about? Atah Kadosh, you are separate. You are holy. You are different. Vishimcha Kadosh, your name is holy. And by the way, what's God's name? Larger conversation now, right now. What does it mean to have a name, a God's name? Atah Kadosh, Vishimcha Kadosh. You're holy, and your name is holy. You're separate, you're different. We don't understand you. That begins to reinforce the second bracha again. We don't really get you. Atah Kadosh, Vishimcha Kadosh, but nonetheless, somehow, holy people praise your name all day. Ukdoshim b'chol yom yahalucha selah. What's this third bracha all about? So I think the answer is, the third bracha recognizes that God is infinitely great. Built off to the heels of the second bracha, the third bracha states, we don't know who God is. We don't fully understand him. We don't get him. He's above and beyond our comprehension. However, but nonetheless, it's our job to bring as much godliness, spirituality, kedusha, sanctity into the world as much as possible. Even though we know the world can't possibly grasp all of the godliness that exists, even though we know we can't capture, neither in our minds nor in this planet, all the godliness that exists, nonetheless, we're going to try our best to bring more and more and more possible, because as long as you're pulling from a tank of infinity, there's always more room to pull. Atah Kadosh Vishimcha Kadosh is all about how it's our responsibility to recognize, even though we'll never fully grasp God because he's infinite, and the world cannot possibly capture his glory or his essence because that's who he is, it's our job and responsibility to bring God into this world as much as possible. If that's correct, that's exactly what the idea of Kedusha is all about. What is Kedusha? We stand still. Nikadesh et Shimcha Be'olam. It's our job to what? Sanctify your name in this world, to bring Kedusha into this world, to bring spirituality and sanctity and godliness and holiness into this world. But not just any old way. How do I want to sanctify your name? Kishem Shemakti Shimo Stavish Meimarom. Although no one properly gets God, who gets him better than mankind? The answer is angels. And that's why instead of quoting angels, we mimic the angels, as Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out in the center. We put our feet together as if we're on one leg. We go up on our tiptoes as if we're elevating, ascending from this world. And we say the things that the angels say, Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kavod. And ultimately, the reason why we're doing this is because we believe when we bring enough glory and sanctity and Kiddush Shem Shemayim and Kavod Shemayim into this world, we'll ultimately achieve our massive plan, our agenda, which will be Yimloch Hashem Liolam Elokayach Tzion L'davar Dar Haluka. The world will recognize, in Mirtz Hashem, times of Mashiach, we're getting towards that quickly. In the times of Mashiach, we want the world to recognize that God, that Hashem is the only real and true King. The more sanctity we bring into this world, the more we accomplish that goal. And therefore, to wrap up, the beginning of Shemona Esrei is a defining of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God, we are your chosen people, selected to bring sanctity and Kedusha into this world. And it's our responsibility to do so. With that in mind, now that I know why I'm here, I'm willing to move forward to Bakashos. Because I know my purpose, because I know my relationship with you, because I know how great you are and what my job is, because I have this concept of Shevach in mind, I'm now prepared to move on to Bakashos. What Shevach is, and I'll summarize and then we'll stop. Three basic ideas. Number one, God, I feel very close to. Number two, God, I recognize intellectually how far I am. And number three, the way I make heads and tails of it is, I know it's my job to be your partner and bring sanctity and Kedusha into this world. But I also realize the world can't capture it. But nonetheless, I'm going to keep on trying until eventually we hit the maximum level that we can dream for, which is Gula Shlema. Mimkomcha Malkeinu Yimloch Hashem. Rabbos say we should all daven better from here on out. Have a wonderful night.